I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Hawks were down Trae Young last night, but the Bucks ended up losing their superstar as well. Giannis left the game with a hyperextended knee in the third quarter and would not return as the Hawks went on to win game four and even the series. The two-time MVP is set to get imaging done on the knee today as his status for game five in Milwaukee is currently unknown. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, I know you said it right before. We don't need any more injuries, but that's the reality right now. What is your prediction for the rest of the series?
Well, going in, I had Milwaukee in six. If Giannis can come back and play, and, you know, seeing him walk a little bit last night, even coming out like he might re-enter the game at one point, that hopefully is a positive sign. If he comes back and can be 85 to 90% of himself, then I'm going to stick with the Bucks, despite them being frustrating, you know, at times in the first half of that game last night. If Giannis is out, then I'm with Atlanta, Trae Young or not. And obviously, I believe they have a better chance of winning if Trae Young plays. If Giannis is not there, he's the only star left in the East. And if you want to say, well, Chris Middleton's an all-star, you know, Drew Holiday's an all-star one time, I would say, okay, Trae is the only player with superstar potential or with superstar ability that's still in the Eastern Conference, which is obviously very rare. So, but even without Trae, I'm going with Atlanta. So if Giannis and Trae are both out the rest of the series, I'm with the Hawks. And you might say, well, wow, Middleton and Drew Holiday. Yeah, on paper, you might look at the names and go with Milwaukee. But I trust Atlanta's players more. I really do. I think they're mentally tougher. Maybe a lot of it has to do with Nate McMillan. But they come out and they play hard and they play with ferocity and they play at their typical level pretty much every night in the playoffs. Like even last night when Giannis goes down, there was no letdown. In fact, they ratcheted it up and said, let's put the foot on the throat. All right. As sad as they were to see him injured, let's put the foot on the throat. We've seen Milwaukee already twice in this series come out lackadaisical. Game one, looked like they're taking Atlanta lightly. Game four, Trae's out. We got this. Like, had they had the lead that they should have had in the first half, maybe they could have held on, even with Giannis being hurt. So I just trust Atlanta more. And look, I think John Collins, I know he didn't have a big game last night, but I think he's one of the more underrated players in the league. Bogdanovich, you know, Herder, Danilo. I've always liked Gallinari. He just couldn't stay healthy. So I like him and Capella. So, and here's the other thing. Nate McMillan is doing a phenomenal job coaching. He's out coached. He's a better coach than Budenholzer. So I think he makes better adjustments between games. He makes better adjustments in games. And he's been able to get his guys mentally ready and motivated better than Budenholzer has. So there's an advantage there. Chris Middleton, I doubt any of you guys were surprised either by what he did last night, right? I mean, this is what he is. Great game, poor game. Great game, poor game, poor game. Great game, poor game. That's what he does. And he did that with Giannis. With Giannis drawing double teams, with Giannis scoring in the post or in the paint, with Giannis drawing the attention of the defense and loosening things up for Middleton, he's still up and down. What's he going to look like without Giannis? I want to see. I think there's the most pressure now without Giannis is on Chris Middleton on both teams. Trae Young's too young. Nobody's going to hold anything against him. Chris Middleton, let's see what you're made of. All right. Can you be great? Can you lead a team by yourself as the league? And I'm not saying lead them past Durant, lead them past LeBron, lead them past, you know, even Chris Paul at this point. Lead them past a young Atlanta team that doesn't even have his best player. All right. Can you do that? So this is going to be really interesting to see what these second level guys are made of. But right now, I trust Atlanta, so I'm going with them if Giannis is out.
I agree with you, Chris. And if you think about it, you see the difference? Atlanta says, oh, y'all die, y'all superstar? We about to beat the hell out y'all now. And you see Milwaukee, they come out there, oh, y'all die with y'all superstar? Y'all can't beat us. Don't you wish the way the Bucks came out in the third quarter, Chris, getting the ball to the basket, Giannis trying to dunk on everybody, Holiday putting the ball behind his back, Chris Middleton trying to get to the paint? Don't you wish they'd have came out like that the first half? No, they came out, oh, man, y'all can't beat us without Trey. Man, you see them goo, Bogdanovich struggling, Herter is, no. And guess what? Now you're down, you find yourself down 13 at the half. Giannis goes down midway through the third quarter, and then they go and take go on a 10-0 run and blow the game wide open. That's the way you're supposed to play the game. Boo note, for whatever reason, I don't know what's in Milwaukee. I don't know why they think they need to shoot threes. I've never seen a team can get whatever they want in the paint, can get to the paint. They got three guys that can get in the paint at any given time, and they jack up three after three after three. Giannis, before he got hurt, he had airballed two free throws, and he said, you know what? The way I'm going to combat this and show y'all I can shoot, I'm going to let these threes go. Bruh, you terrible at shooting threes. There's a reason why they let y'all shoot them. You think they run? And the thing is, they don't even try to chase y'all off the three-point line. They're like, nah, don't chase them off that. Let them stay right there, because I already know what's going to happen. Brick, brick, brick. What did they shoot last night from the three? 8 of 39. They're shooting 29% from the three. And somehow it's like the objective.
That's 20%.
No, I'm saying they shooting for the series.
Yeah, oh, for the series.
They shot 20% for the series. I mean, for last night.
8 of 39.
8 of 39. So I guess they're thinking, Chris, if we shoot more, at some point in time, we're going to make more. Yeah, you shoot 53s and you make 13. You still haven't accomplished anything, Bucks. Yeah, they just play dumb basketball. And I don't know, I guess because the basketball coach in basketball, they don't yell. But I would tell a guy, the next guy, because in football, Skip, you know, the next guy that jumps offside, coach would tell you, you'll have your ass over here with me. Or the next guy commit a penalty. In basketball, I would tell them, the next guy that shoots a three, you're going to come sit with me. And it's going to be hard for you to shoot a three from the bench. Because this is ridiculous. There's no way. And Atlanta played well. Give them credit. Atlanta belongs in the Eastern Conference Final. I think they've shown that, Skip. They've shown. They beat a Knicks team. They beat a Sixers team. They're showing that they belong here. But the Bucks did not show up last night to play. Mm. And there's no guarantee. Had they shown up, that they would have beat the Hawks. Mm. But this right here, you got exactly what you deserve.
Okay, you picked them.
I picked them. Yeah, I don't fault them. I fault me. I'm the dummy for picking them. And I don't blame the Bucks. I'm the dummy for picking them.
Okay, I didn't pick them. I picked the Hawks in six. I'm sticking with Hawks in six. And as much as I hated to see Giannis go down, I'm going to say it one more time. I just don't trust him, even when he's 1,000% healthy.
Right.
I just don't believe in him as a superstar, as a player who can carry a team to a championship. I'm watching the first half. Crowd's getting in his head, speeding up his count, the free throw line. And he shoots in the first half alone, two air balls from the free throw line. And then to Shannon's point earlier in the show, then he had the audacity shooting free throw air balls to think he could shoot three-point shots. And he shoots an even worse air ball from three. And I'm saying, what are you doing? Plus, he came out low energy. They just thought they had it. And he scored a grand total of 6 points in the first half. Then he comes out in the third quarter, and he actually started to say, okay, I'm going to take it to the rack. and he scored four quick baskets, mm-hmm. and they kind of got back in the game. They were down. They cut it back to 10 at that point. And then, very unfortunately, he got hurt. I have no idea. I agree with the point. You know, he did look like he was walking fair, and then he came back out like, I want to go back in, coach, and then the balloons to 20, and he said, okay, I'm going back to the locker room. I have no idea how healthy he will be. But I will say this about the Hawks. They look pretty good without Trae Young.
Yeah.
I got to say, and I'm not saying they're better off without Trae. I enjoyed it. It was pleasing to my eye that Trae Young wasn't dominating the basketball. And I look at the assists, and all of a sudden Trae's 20 assists get spread out to Kevin Huerter. He's a pretty good player. He had 7. And guess who? Lou Williams, the old man Lou Williams, okay. came in, and he had 8 assists to go along with his 21 points.
Well, he had a towel on the sideline to get that lemon pepper sauce off his hand.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. I forgot
the ball,
about that.
The ball wasn't slipping last night.
Well, I've never forgiven him for that. And guess who?
Know where he went after the game, well, Shannon.
But yeah. That was just for the chicken, right?
Yeah, just for the chicken.
Okay.
It's right around the corner, too, Skip. They ain't nowhere. Pop Skip, actually, he could walk.
Well, it's named for him on the menu, right?
It is.
And Bogdanovich had 5 assists. So I just gave you 20 assists came from 3 other guys who don't
normally handle the ball.
And so I liked how it felt, and the scoring got spread out. And then I've said this on this show many times before. I love Cam Reddish. He is an NBA player to me. And at Duke, he took and made a bunch of big shots, including a walk-off at Florida State one Saturday afternoon. Yep. And he's just getting his legs back underneath him. He's coming off an Achilles issue. And he made 5 of 9 shots and really gave them a spark. Where on defense, he was disrupting because he's long and strong, yeah. man. So all of a sudden, I liked what I saw. So I don't know if Trae Young can go in Game 5, but I don't care. I'm sticking with the Hawks to win 5 and 6 and end this and put Milwaukee out of its misery.
I mean, you look at the first quarter, Chris and Skip, Giannis is 0-2. Chris Middleton is 1-6.
I think Holiday was his first ever playoff quarter without a point, I believe it was.
That shows me you didn't take this game serious.
Nope.
You thought Atlanta was going to come over there, come out because they're without their best player and just lay down and say, man, you know what? We got it. They had every excuse. Man, they ain't got no Trae. That's why I commend Nate McMillan. I commend Ty Lue. Yep. Because without their best players, they still going to give you everything they got.
They do.
They make no excuses. Ain't no excuse why we can't play hard. We might not win, but there's no excuse for not playing hard because our best player should determine how hard we play. We should play hard, and having a best player gives us a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
But this right here, Chris Middleton and Holiday, 12 or 34, again, they've been shooting terrible. Chris Middleton, one game, already in the one game, he going to go lights out. He going to light you up. Next game, he's going to come back. I said he's going to give you 15. He got one more. He made me into a liar. But I don't fault them. I fault me. I kick my own ass for picking them.
Mm.
What you seeing with the Hawks, I mean, and Nate McMillan did this from jump. But even still with Trae, you know, he's got the ball. Like you said, Skip, he dominates the ball to some degree. He's the best player. But without him, they play 5-man basketball. And 5-man basketball is more effective, and I think it'll beat the typical basketball that we play today. High pick and roll, drive and kick. It's almost like 2-man ball.
Yep.
And that's why Golden State was so great, even before Kevin Durant, right? Because they played 5-man basketball.
Yep.
The roster didn't blow you away, and San Antonio was always so good,
always.
Even when Duncan got old, because they played 5-man basketball, and that's what Atlanta did. And to your point, Shannon, about the threes, that's the analytics. That's these guys relying too much on analytics. That's all it is. And they will never forsake the three, no matter how many they're missing, no matter how much damage they could do inside, because of what the analytics say. Skip, you remember Brook Lopez? He used to be a low post scorer.
He was.
He would average 20 points a game as a low post scorer.
At Brooklyn.
Now he hardly ever goes down low. And so they're not even looking. They think the analytics say the post shot is a bad shot analytically.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense mathematically.
Mm.
And I don't agree, but that's what the Bucks are going off of.
So Chris, my man across the table here, Mr. Sharp, he finally found a loophole through which he could backtrack and get back on the Hawks bandwagon so he can go home again to Atlanta.
Hey, Chris, guess where the Bucks and the
look, I'm Shannon.
Huh?
I'm sticking with, if Giannis is in uniform, stick with the Bucks.
Mm-mm.
Stick with the Bucks.
I ain't
if he's
do
in
it.
Uniform.
Because the Bucks and the analytics department is about to be home. Because the Bucks keep listening to the analytics department, and the analytics department keep feeding them some bull jive. So no, both of those guys are about to be home. And we're gonna be at hey, you know what? We coming, Undisputed coming on the road. We're gonna be at Magic City in about a week.
Mm. Yeah. Hey,
are you gonna make that happen?
Yeah, we make it happen. I know Magic. I get Magic up right now.
I'm actually fine with that. Skip.
But if we're there at 9:30 in the morning, nobody's gonna be there.
That's what you don't want nobody there. You don't want nobody there. You don't want nobody there. We just have a good old time, have a nice little crowd. Okay. You know, nice little
actually,
crowd.
I can't believe I'm supporting
no
this.
Mercy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Clippers have a chance to force a Game 7 tonight with a win in L.A. in hopes of yet another comeback this postseason, and that's what they've been doing. They will have to face a determined Suns team who, Monty Williams said, must play with desperation after giving up Game 5 at home Monday night. Already feels like a long time ago. Chris Broussard still with us. Chris, who wins Game 6 and the series right now?
I'm sticking with my original pick, Phoenix in 7, which means Clippers tonight in Game 6. You know, look, Reggie Jackson, I think he's key. And earlier in the playoffs, you'd get a big game from me, maybe every other night, something like that. Maybe that was because Kawhi was there. But he has been a lot more consistent lately, and it is since Kawhi left. In 6 of his last 7 games, I believe, he scored 20 or more points. His lowest scoring game is 19. So now I've got a second guy next to Paul George playing like a star. He's averaging 22 points on 47% shooting in this series. So I think Reggie Jackson, we know he's got the guts and the heart, and the moment isn't too big for him. And he's playing for more than just, you know, to get to the finals or to win a championship. He's also playing for a contract. He's making $2.3 million this year. And he'll be a free agent this summer. So he is also playing for another big contract, as are a few other Clippers. Nick Batum playing for a contract. I haven't seen Nick Batum play this well since the last time he was playing for a contract.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's a factor. Boogie Cousins. Yeah, Boogie wants to give a middle finger to everybody, right, and win a championship. But he also wants another contract. Pretty good contract. So he's going to go out there with extra motivation. So I trust the Clippers tonight. Paul George, you know, obviously he could easily go out there and have an inefficient shooting game. We know he's had a lot of those. But I do think he's going to give me 25-plus points. He's going to hit the boards, probably double-figure rebounds. And I think he'll play a very good game. I don't think he'll do what he did in Game 5, but I think he'll play a very good game. And I think the Clippers will take this thing home and force a Game 7 in Phoenix.
I'm going the opposite, Chris. I'm going to take the Suns in a close ball game. And I can't, it's hard to disagree with a lot of what you said. When I look at Paul George, he's playing like he played in Indiana. He says, I'm the best player on the court. I don't have to defer to Kawhi. Now guys are going to defer to me. Now just let me be me. And I thought what happened in Game 5 is that Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson, Boogie, got off to that great start. He didn't need to jack up a bunch of shots because a lot of times he's just putting up shots. I just need to get things up. And so it caused him to be really, really inefficient. Well, because Game 5, those guys were so efficient early, Paul George got an opportunity to relax. So he had 11 points at the half. Now he's like, well, I know I got these guys in my corner. Let me go do my thing. And the Suns, I don't know what they were thinking. You're at home. Did you actually think they were just going to lay down? Chris Paul had said in an on-court interview, man, that team, they fight. They don't give up. Okay, so you know that. And still you come out there with that attitude that you displayed for game five, which is unacceptable. Ty Lue caught him off guard. I don't think Monty Williams and the Suns anticipated them starting in a zone and starting so small. Okay, now you know there's a great chance you're probably going to see that small starting lineup again, and there's a great chance you're going to see that zone again. DeAndre Ayton needs to eat. Chris Paul, you need to feed him. Now, I'm not saying they're a better team without Chris Paul. I'm saying they played at a better tempo and the guys look better. Look at Booker when Chris Paul wasn't there. Look at Booker when Chris Paul is there. Look at Ayton. Look at Cameron Payne. Look at the tempo and the speed at which they played at. So I'm not saying you take Chris Paul, you take all Chris Paul minutes away from him. Maybe you put Cameron Payne also in there so he can push the tempo. I believe Cameron Johnson needs to get more minutes, considering you're not getting a whole lot from Mikal Bridges. You're not getting a whole lot for Jay Crowder. They've got to be better. Because if they're not going to give you anything offensively, and they let Paul George and they let Reggie Jackson get what the hell they want offensively, what good are they to you? Cam Johnson is not a defender, but he can get buckets in a hurry. Mm. So I think and DeAndre Ayton is going to have to be better on the defensive end tonight, Skip. In game five, the Clippers were 20 of 24 with shots at the rim. Yeah, throw that stuff up out of there. Throw that stuff to Playa Vista. Throw it to Corona. Mm. Watch tonight. Mm. Normally, last time it happened, Marcus Morris and Boogie Cousins, they outplayed DeAndre Ayton, just like Zubac did in game three.
Yep.
And then D.A. came back and put a monster up. Mm. I feel it coming on. I see a 20-20 ball game tonight.
You do?
I see it.
So you see Suns big tonight,
now,
right?
I didn't say big. That's not what I said. I see a big game from D.A.
And you know what I see in my crystal ball? I see Clippers in seven. It's going to happen. They came from 0-2 down to Dallas.
It ain't happening.
0-2 down to Utah. 3-1 down to the Suns. Here they come.
Happening.
NBA Finals. Los Angeles, not Lakers. Clippers.
It ain't happening.
The Clippers are just better than the Suns. In the end, that's it. That my eye test keeps telling me they're just a
little
better.
Your eyes are not good,
though. They're real good. I got LASIK, man. I can see anything. I can read Jenny's prompter from over here.
Yeah, you can.
I can.
The 20 years ago, you need to update that LASIK again.
It's beautiful. It's perfect. I can see 2015, especially when it comes to the Clippers. You know how I feel? I just like their heartbeat and their backbone. I like their guts and their grit. I like their scratch and their claw. That's who they are. They fight you. I love the quote yesterday from, this was Paul George on DeMarcus Cousins, when he said, he brings us toughness. That's what this team takes pride in. We got toughness from top to bottom. Pat Bev's got toughness to him. Marcus Morris will fight you.
Yeah. Literally and figuratively.
Batum, yeah, literally. He literally, that's what I mean. I'm rooting for him, but I'm afraid of him because he is their enforcer.
Yep, he is.
He's got a little bit of Oakley in him, except he's got more skill. He can shoot threes. Yeah. He can get hot from three, yes, as we saw him, or hot from two.
Yes.
So I like the harmony and the chemistry of this team, even without Kawhi, without Zoo, without Ibaka. I still like the makeup of this team. Paul George is the best player on the floor. Yeah, I don't care what you say. He just is. Mm-hmm. He's LeBron-esque. I'm not saying better than LeBron, but he's a long 6'8 who can disrupt you on defense, and he can shoot you out of the gym when he gets on a roll.
Going.
And he can shoot it deep. He can shoot deep threes. He's got range. He can get to the bucket. He's got a lot of all-star talent.
That's what he did? That's what he did to the Lakers to open tonight.
He did.
Remember, he dropped 26 in the second half. He dropped 30 in the second half the other night.
I'll be the first to tell you, he is psychologically flawed. He has issues. He will choke on occasions. He will come apart. And the key stat for me in tonight's game is nothing about points or rebounds or assists. the key stat, the crucial game-turning stat tonight. You can book this when you look at the box tomorrow. It will be how many turnovers Paul George has. He had 6 at Phoenix the other night, and they were of the horrendous I-can't-watch-them variety, and they overcame them because Reggie Jackson said, I got you. Down the stretch in the fourth quarter, Reggie Jackson has become the closer for this team that Kawhi nor Paul George could ever be. He's just saying, I got you. I got you. I'm going to take it. I'm going to make it. And I'll make enough of them. I will close for you. So now they have a stopper on defense in Pat Bev and a closer on offense in Reggie Jackson. Who knew? But Pat Bev is crucial also because you can sick him on book for a while, or you can sick him on CP3, or if you need to, on campaign. If you wherever you need to plug the hole, put your finger in the dam, you just say, can you go pit bull him or pit bull him or him, right? And he's playing. He was out of the rotation, and now he's integral, right?
Yep.
For the longest, he just didn't play. And like you suggested yesterday, maybe they kept him on mothballs just to save him for this.
Well, the Clippers, I believe, Chris, they won the game in the first quarter because they got off to that sensational start Marcus Morris. They end up getting 36
points. What if Chris and I said all year they weirdly sort of go as Marcus goes? Go ahead.
So they got 36 and forced Phoenix to play uphill.
They did.
Phoenix need to return the favor. Get off to that great start.
Okay, but what happened when Phoenix finally eked ahead 62-61? Playoff P happened.
Well, we got something. They got something for playoff P.
Okay, well, you better. Because he's more of a third quarter explosion than a fourth quarter. I want to see all
that. Chris, you remember when the opening round, when they were playing the Lakers and Jay Crowder started saucing, and then Chris Paul, he was mimicking LeBron? Chris Paul, now I want to see you mimic some of Paul George. Mm. And yeah, you know how he was leaning back? You know, he was doing lean with it. Rock with it. Yo, he imitating everybody. Now you got Pat Bev mocking you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Jay Crowder. I want to see the salsa. Hit me some of them threes.
Mm. Pat Bev mocked him.
Yeah.
He got away with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Chris Paul got something for him tonight.
Well, does he?
Yeah.
He better.
Yeah, Chris Paul got something for him tonight. Why?
I'm with you that Paul George is the best player in this series. At this point, he's better than Chris Paul at this point. He's better than Devin Booker at this point.
He is.
But I would say Phoenix has the next three best players. Devin, Chris, and DeAndre Ayton. Now, I know Reggie Jackson is playing great.
Yeah, he's not better than those three.
But the expectations on Reggie are a lot less.
Right.
Reggie, he's doing it every night. I'm going to give it to him. But he doesn't have the expectations that Booker and CP3 have. So I think they got – I don't think the Clippers are better without Kawhi than Phoenix. With Kawhi, yes. But without him, I think it's close. But I still go with Phoenix. That's why I got
it. If the Clippers had Kawhi, they would have swept the Suns.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Certainly beat
them. Hold on. Skip.
Certainly beat them.
The first two games, without Chris Paul and they got Kawhi, the Clippers would have. Because here's the thing. The Clippers never play down to expectations. They don't take anybody for granted. Ty Lue's not going to let you say because they don't have their best player, we're just going to go out there.
You realize the Clippers have delivered no stinkers in this whole playoff run. They've gotten blown out 0 times.
Yeah, if you beat them, think about it, Skip. When they've lost games, it's taking historic performances.
Shannon, I think they played that. Dallas really should have taken them 7 with Kawhi.
But if you look at the game, I mean, if Luka gonna come out there and give you 40 and 18 and give you 45 and 15, it's hard to offset that. You look at Donovan Mitchell. Those first two games that he played, he was sensational. Sometimes, you know, you get guys. It's kind of like when you go back and look at it, you like. The Lakers really should have been 16-0 in the playoffs. But you get Allen Iverson with a historic performance, and he'll win you a game. But with the Clippers, with the way the Suns play and the way they're shooting, Kawhi would have taken that thing.
Okay, without Kawhi, I will accept your bet. I'll take 5 cases tonight, 10 cases on game 7, but I get the points.
No!
I get the points.
No,
the points. No, whatever Fox Bet says it is.
No,
yes.
You get no points. You get no points.
I get the points.
No, I didn't give you. Hey, you didn't give me no points the other night.
I didn't need them.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I wanted with my bet? I gave you 3, and then I gave you another 5. I didn't take any points.
I know, but for 10 cases, I at least deserve the points.
Well, hold on. What about with the Bucks and KD? You wouldn't give me no points.
So? That was different.
That was different.
Okay, yeah. Red. Okay, Red. Wait Friday. A second. Oh, but that's different.
This is climbing Everest. They were down 3-1. They got to win game 5 at Phoenix, game 6 at home, and then go back to Phoenix to win a game 7. And you won't even give me the points?
Let me ask you a question.
How much?
Chris, what do you think is more difficult? Winning the Bucks, winning in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, or the Clippers winning in Phoenix? Which do you think is more difficult?
With James Harden, it was some guy I'd never recognized before. I'd never seen him before.
What about that 7-foot guy? You recognize him?
Yeah, but that was 1-on-5, and you agreed with me. It was 1-on-5.
Okay.
Yep.
So we got a deal. No points.
We got a deal on points.
No, we don't, Skip. No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Well,
I can't
we
do
definitely
it.
Got 5 on tonight.
Yeah. Hey, we got okay. No. Hey, we definitely got 10 on Sunday. Saturday.
Friday.
Yeah.
No mercy.
Well, on Saturday, the last two World Series champs collide as Mookie Betts and the Dodgers take on Juan Soto and the Nationals, or Bogarts and the Red Sox take on the A's. Saturday, 7 Eastern, only on Fox. So check local listings for the game in your area. Chris Paul has put up all-star numbers during his entire career, but has yet to reach a single finals. He remains one game away, but is also only 2 losses away from coming up just short and missing perhaps his best chance at a title. Chris Broussard still hanging with us this morning on Undisputed. Chris, how crucial is the outcome of the Suns-Clippers series to Chris Paul's legacy right now?
It's huge. Now, look, he's still a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know if anybody will deny that. But this is huge for Chris Paul's legacy. It would be a huge negative impact or negative mark on his legacy if they lose this series. And this season, he has gotten all types of goodwill for what he's done in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
He was an MVP candidate. He was first team All-NBA. There was talk of him getting a big new max 3-year contract. You know, all of that stuff. A lot of people have said he's already a top 5 point guard. A few even went higher than that.
Mm-mm.
And I've said, if they win this championship, I'll give him number 5 if they win this championship.
Correct.
But if they lose this series, all of that is lost. And we know, as great as Chris has been, he's had a checkered playoff and clutch history. He's had some big moments in the clutch. But he's had some really poor ones. We go back to 2014 with the meltdown against Russell Westbrook and Oklahoma City. 2015, losing the 3-1 lead to the Houston Rockets. 2017, when he has the clunker, 6-for-19 in Game 7 against Utah. Chris Paul has lost 3 playoff series in his career where his team led 2-0. Okay, for context, Jason Kidd never lost a playoff series where he led 2-0. Steve Nash, same thing, never lost a series like that. John Stockton has lost 2. So Chris Paul has more playoff series where they led 2-0 losses than Nash, Stockton, and Jason Kidd combined. And those are kind of the guys he's grouped with. This obviously would double that, and now he'd have 4. So, and here's the thing, for all his checkered past, no one's really blamed Chris for not playing in the finals. Yeah, okay, he got hurt in 2018. Injuries happen. You can't really blame him for that. Even 2019, when Kevin Durant got hurt and the series was 2-2, Houston Golden State, he played well. He had a triple-double in Game 7, even though they lost that series. So Chris has not really been blamed. If they lose this series, people will look at it as his fault. And that's a first for him. And that's why this would be so damaging, because we know they were up 2-0.
Without him. We know
there were rumblings that, hey, yeah, the Clippers will have a better shot with Chris Paul playing because he slows down the tempo. And the numbers say that. With their offensive rating in this series with Chris Paul is 97.7. Without Chris Paul, it's 112.5. And that negative 14.8 net rating is the worst of all of Phoenix's rotation players. So Chris has got to deliver. He's got 2 chances. If he drops another 3-1 lead, it's one of those things, like we talked about Doc Rivers. Doc's a great coach. We all get that. But you can't ignore that he's lost all these 3-1 leads. It will be the same thing with Chris Paul.
I totally agree. And he would have lost the 3-1 lead, and considering that they had a 2-0 lead without him. So when he came back, he didn't have to do any of the heavy lifting. He didn't have to do any of the grunt work. They had a 2-0 lead. Now they've lost two or three ball games that he's been back, and he's shooting 19 of 60. 19 of 60. He's only gotten two shots in the restricted area. So he's not even getting to the rim. He's not defending, and he's not making plays. Because whomever he's defending, maybe it's Pat Bev. But Pat Bev is not trying to score. Pat Bev is trying to conserve all his energy. Not that he's an elite scorer, an efficient scorer, or a scorer to that degree anyway. But he's exerting all of his energy on the defensive end. But Chris Paul, this would be a monumental collapse for him. Mm. And Chris, also, this will probably be his last best chance of getting to an NBA Finals. Because it's almost like the Red Sea has parted. Look at all the injuries in the West. Look at all the injuries in the East. This is his best chance to not only get to a Finals, but possibly win it. Because to think that Kyrie and Harden and LeBron and AD and Kawhi and Jamal Murray and this one and that one will be hurt moving forward, you're asking an awful lot. This is your best chance. You need to seize this moment, Chris. You need to play better because you have not played well. You need to get these guys to play well. Play with a heightened sense of urgency. Don't look at it as, well, we got game 7 on my home court. Because trust me, I don't care what anybody says. Game 7 is anybody's ball game. Because you have stepped on an ankle or a jam finger or somebody fall funny from your best player being out. And then you get run out of your own building.
Yep.
So you better take advantage of this opportunity right now. But I agree with you. I don't have him in my top 5 point guards right now. And it might take a couple of championships before he get in there if he were to lose this series.
Yep. So I'm with both of you. This feels make or break for CP3. And I want to compliment Chris on all the stats that he gave because they're compelling, they're chilling, and in the end, they're indicting of Chris Paul III. And we know all the accolades. He's an 11-time All-Star. He's 9 times All-Defense. Mm-hmm. He's 6 times steals champ and 4 times assist champ. And I'm with Chris, and on top of being Rookie of the Year, that all adds up to he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely, yeah, no question.
He's called Point God. He was in the MVP conversation this year and shouldn't have been, but he was.
Right.
And because that bar got set up here, it's still up there.
Yes.
And yet I keep making the case that his playoff impact doesn't even measure up to his star quality that he's achieved through his State Farm commercials because they're all-time great and they just keep on keeping on. And they've invented his alter ego brother, Cliff Paul, and right. It's just greatness. And we see him like every other commercial. Mm-hmm. It's another, obvious Chris Cliff Paul State Farm commercial. Mm-hmm. Well, he's gotten more fame out of those in the postseason than he has on the basketball court.
Right.
Because I'm with Chris. The harder I look at the postseason, the worse it gets. And just quickly, I don't want to, dwell on this and just beat it to death, but That 2015, this is where was with the Clippers. That's the irony of this. And they lost the last 3 games of a 3-1 lead. They lost by 21, 12, and 13. It wasn't even close to Houston.
Right.
And then I look at 2013. They go up 2-0 on Memphis. It was a very good Memphis team, but they lose 4 straight games by 17, 21, 10, and 13. I can just keep on keeping on. Where Chris's minuses for the cumulative 4 games, he was a minus 56 in those 4 games against Memphis. I can just keep on keeping on. And to your point, when you're now in this series, what are you, 17 of 60? I'm sorry, 19 of 60. And that's 32% from the floor.
Right.
Well, that'll lose you a bunch of games.
Yeah.
If you're the MVP of the team,
right.
you got to be better. So tonight is huge for CP3, and Game 7 would be huger for CP3 because tonight's the one. This is back in your home away from home. You dominated this arena for years as a Clipper, and so you would think you could go home and close this deal at home because, as Shannon says, boy, game seven, I wouldn't love your chances at home in a game seven.
Because all the visiting team is trying to do is get it to the fourth quarter, keep it close. Because the closer the game stays, the more pressure that mounts on the home team.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the home crowd get antsy.
Yep.
You start to get antsy.
I agree.
And then the bucket starts to shrink. And then, uh-oh. But
yep.
If you look at Chris, in campaign of those two games in which Chris Paul didn't play, he's 40 points, 18 assists with one turnover. And you look at Booker's numbers. And you look at the pace in which they played.
Yep.
They haven't even been close to that. They can barely get 100 points.
Okay, so Chris, my man Shannon has been campaigning for campaign to get more run, to play equal minutes with CP3. What does that tell you about where Chris is at this stage and age? I don't know. I'm with you. My eye tests tell me, ugh. Go ahead.
Right. And that's the interesting thing. Can Monty Williams do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think you got to. You know, you've got to look at it like it doesn't mean Chris might not play more in the finals, right? If they get there, it depends on the matchups. Because we weren't saying he was great against Denver.
Yes.
You know, so it might just be this matchup. We need more campaign. Now, certainly you don't bench Chris and not start
right.
him, but you start him, but you got to get those minutes kind of even. And if it's obvious that Cam has him going, then you got to stick with him. And I think Chris would understand that. You know, Chris, you guys know this. There are coaches that can maximize mediocre talent. But then you give them some real horses or you give them and they can't get you to the championship. They can take a mediocre team and win 50 games, but they can't win a championship. Chris, if he loses this series, that's almost how he'll look. Because remember last year, again, a ton of goodwill. Look at what he did with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
My goodness. You know, that was a bad team, right? But he took them to, fifth, sixth seed, whatever they were.
Yep.
And so this is, can he get them over the hump? And the reason I brought up the blown leads in playoff series when you're up 2-0 is because the point guard, especially one as good as Chris Paul, you control tempo, right? You're the leader. You can slow things down. You can get your guys settled or you can push it. Do whatever you have to do to win that series if you're up 2-0. So it does fall on the point guard when you drop leads like that, especially if you're a superstar.
I'm counting on Book. Oh,
are
Book.
You?
Oh yeah, Book him down.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm counting on Pat Bev. Thank
okay.
you.
Pat Bev,
he got something
right.
for Pat Bev tonight.
Does he?
Yeah, he got something.
What,
got
a mask?
A new mask? I got two cases for 30 points.
For 30 points?
30 points.
Really?
Yeah! Two cases for 30 on Pat Bev here.
He could get empty calories.
No, I don't
empty calories. He could get some garbage points.
That's all you're going to see him do right here on his head.
Really?
Yeah.
I got five on the game, so what do I need to
two more?
Risk two?
Seven? Ain't no risk.
Huh?
What you mean a risk?
Go a man, like, I'll do 35 for two
no,
cases.
No, no.
Well, I just don't accept everything that you propose.
You ask me, when you go to the gambling window, you can't go bargain with the
yeah,
you can't go get bargain with the gambler.
Oh, so you set the odds now?
For this bet.
We can bargain here.
Okay, I already got it. 30
points
for two
is
cases.
A fair bet.
The other night, you bet me two cases for 40 points, and I won. So why would I?
30.
Huh?
But I didn't know Pat Bev was going to be like that. But so Pat Bev, I know what Pat Bev is right now. 30 points right now.
No.
No?
No.
Scared.
No.
Scared man can't win no money.
I'm scared. I got
scared
five
man
cases.
Can't win no dupe.
Moving on.
No mercy.